Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
With a lesson titled, Just Fix It. Just Fix It. Amen. Specifically, this was taught to me just very recently. I shared with some of you guys, or I was asking around for help or just ideas, because maybe about 2 weeks ago, or maybe three now, I guess, there was a lot of rain, and it rained a lot, and something had happened to my car that had never happened before, but water started coming into the sides, or the passenger side and the driver's side, and at first I just thought that it was maybe a water bottle that had spilled, and I attributed that water to just water. I wasn't like, wow, like, I don't know how, why I'm not sealing my water bottles right, you know, it's just, they could just continue to spill out. But an initial problem, and I just kept driving the car. I told myself, it's going to fix itself, I'm sure, you know, that water stopped, and this water just stopped too, praise God, I can hear myself think. And anyways, that didn't really solve anything, and I was continuing to drive the car, and at some point, I was starting to make left turns, and I was starting to hear this sound like a, and it started sounding like debris or something, and I was like, oh no, not another problem on top of that. And anyways, the problem started getting worse, so then I started trying to figure out what it might have been. I reached behind the glove compartment, I took out the cabin air filter, and I pulled it out. There was some debris in it, but it was the cabin, or the filter was actually kind of broken, it hadn't been doing the job that it was supposed to do for God knows how long. So anyways, I bought a new one, and I put it back in, and I said, I think that's it. This is going to be it. Yeah, nope, the sound was getting worse, and then I took the car to a car wash, because I wanted to test to see if the water would come in, and that was a very bad idea. The inside of my car was wet, you know, or at least of the floorboards and sudsy. It kind of smelled good for a little bit, but I said, nope, still got a problem here. And then a couple days after that, I want to say it was like a Wednesday, maybe 2 weeks ago. It was that the same week that my mother-in-law was here. That I think it was that Wednesday that we were driving from our house to church, and this smell of like sulfur, rotten eggs, you know, just started coming into the car, and I thought, man, it's just that Georgia smell, you know. Maybe that someone's farming somewhere, and it's just the wind's pushing it. I refuse to believe that it was my car that was doing that. But on the way back, the smell persisted, and to make matters worse, the day after that, so that was on Wednesday and Thursday, I had to go pick up my mother-in-law, right? And that problem was still not fixed. I did not fix it. It was the longest ride to the airport and back, and I had to tell my mother-in-law, hey, I'm so sorry, my car stinks. You know, we're gonna be here, we're gonna be driving together for almost 2 hours, and I'm so sorry. Anyways, I share all of that, and then there's more to that story, but there was little things, or a little bit of leaves, and a little bit of dirt, right, that caused, in the end, that caused this problem of my car getting flooded. The drain tubes had been clogged, and then, again, the debris had gone into some God knows where, past the cabin filter that was causing the sound as I was driving. So a lot of things happened because of my neglect, of my lack of not checking, or perhaps not knowing. Now I know, and I'll forever, if anyone ever tell me, hey, my passenger side is flooding, I can help you. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe not. But I have a little bit of an idea now. But it was a little bit of debris, a little bit of dirt, and a little bit of leaves, and God knows what else, that created this unfavorable situation for my car. And then once the stench made itself known, I told myself, I have to do something about this problem. And Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15, gives us a little bit of insight about small things that cause unfavorable situations, right? The Bible says, catch us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. And literally from this verse, we can consider the damage that a fox may cause to months or years of hard work, right? And tending the vines and ensuring that that you know, the vines or the plants or whatever kind of labor can go into growing a vineyard, all of that can be thrown away or destroyed in seconds because of little things, damage such as eating of the tender fruit and decreasing of the usable or profitable portions of the vineyard or even perhaps the trampling or the destruction of the vines where the fruit grows as the fox sets itself off to catch its prey. The fox is just being itself, but and maybe that's okay, right? But it matters because it destroys, or it could destroy what we have or what we're building, what we're growing. And with that said, we need to consider the little things in our lives that we are giving access to trampling or destroying our peace, our joy, our finances, amen, our love or our faith in the Lord, and even our testimony as it pertains not only to the people around us, like maybe in a public setting or in our schools and our jobs, but even most importantly, or specifically, to our very own family. What testimony are we giving to our family members, to our siblings, to our uncles, our nieces, or whatever family member you can think of? What testimony are we giving to them? If we can willingly take care of the little things in our lives, the big things will be safeguarded because we took the time to care. And that's the first point that I'd like to make this morning, is fix the little things willingly. Willingly, amen. If we can willingly take care of the little things, and I can't stress the word willingly enough, it is usually easier and more efficient to do something willingly than to do it because you have no choice. Amen. I challenge you to consider a situation that you've lived through recently, or maybe you feel like you're going, or that I may be going through at this moment, and assess what those small foxes may be. If we let small foxes go unchecked when it was earlier, we're going to end up with a heavier burden later on because we did not do our due diligence at the beginning to get that checked or to get rid of whatever it may have been that was small at the beginning. But now it's great. It's a big problem now. Amen. In the meantime, I invite you, I mean, I know we're kind of spread out a little bit, but if you can find someone near to you, if you can tell them, I don't know about you, but I want to smell good. Yeah. Amen. Praise God. So the first point that I shared, right, is fix the little things willingly. And then the second one is you can't hide a deep stench. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. The Bible says, "For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one, we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other, the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as so many, peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ." Amen. I challenge you this morning to question your scent and your aroma. Spiritually, amen. When people see you, amen, when they know that you're present, where is your fragrance leading them to? Amen. I can have the best attire, the best appearance, the best gifts, talents, but if there's anything, even if the smallest thing that we can deem in, that looks like it's insignificant, but it's leading me to live a life, whether it's publicly or secretly, that is contrary to the word of God, then we already know, or I already know what my scent is going to be. Amen. But maybe you can say, I tithe and I pray and I sing and I serve and I preach and I lead. I speak in tongues and I've gone to the services and the conferences and the camps. But you or I, if we have one or many little things that are contrary to, or in disobedience to the word of God. And I have to tell you, I'm sorry, but we stink. Amen. We stink. Where our aroma is not one that leads to life. It's not one that not only draws myself to God, but that can draw somebody else to the Lord. But it's quite the contrary. It's drawing myself and somebody else, perhaps, into death. Amen. The little things bring death when they're not unchecked, or the little things that lead to sin, at least. So what God offers us is life. It's eternal life. And what God gives us is precious. Amen. I share with you today because what we have received from God is far too important to lose over something that is small, over something that seems unimportant or insignificant in the big picture, but it is crucial for your life and for your habits today. Amen. For my life and my habits. I apply this to myself first whenever I share it. But the word of God is not something that can be peddled, as the verse we just read states. Amen. Something that is peddled is something that is sold. I could think of perhaps someone that could come to your door, and I don't know if I used to watch see it on TV a lot, but you know, we have the door-to-door knife salesman. I don't know if that's a thing or something that someone can sell to you that just very easily or very quickly, or something off the street. That's not what the word of God is. Amen. The word of God is powerful. The word of God is living. The word of God is effective. Amen. The word of God cannot be peddled or sold like a day-to-day household item or food item. But the word of God does reveal what is wrong or right in our lives. Amen. And ultimately helps us to lead us to a realization that we cannot hide our stench. We cannot, we have to stop making attempts to do that. Amen. The Bible says from Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 1, that the dead flies putrefy the perfumer's ointment and cause it to give off a foul odor, and so does a little folly to one respected for wisdom and honor. And I can only think about the flies and how and that immediate disgust that we get usually, right? I don't think any of us ever look like, oh man, that's such a cool fly there, man. Huh, I wonder what kind of fly it is. You know, at least for myself, the thought that I want, I see it in my house, I just want to eliminate it. I want to kill it. I turn into Ebony Maw from Marvel, and then like, children of Jorge, rejoice, for your end is near. And then, da, 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 da. You know, gotta finish off the flies. Yeah, some of you guys know where that's. Yeah, I know you like to watch Marvel and all that. We think of the immediate rejection, right? If there's a fly in your food, or if there's fly in your beverage, probably not gonna want it. If it's in a restaurant, you're gonna ask for something for a new one, right? We're gonna ask for something different. I cannot imagine what a perfumer would have felt inside to think that their labor of hours, of days, or even longer had been ruined because of dead flies. Little foxes, little flies, little folly. For Encyclopedia of the Bible, folly is, or explanation of it at least, is the opposite of wisdom. It is not imbecility, insanity, or error, but it is wrongheadedness. It has to do with practical insights into the nature of things that lead to success or failure in life. Wisdom and folly in the Bible rest on the principle of adjustment to a higher law for a practical purpose. Folly involves rejection or disregard of the revealed moral and spiritual values of which life is based. The fool sins against his own best interests and rejects God. Folly. So it is essential that we adjust our lives according to the Word of God, that we align our moral and spiritual values according to the Word of God. And we need to stop trying to adjust the Word of God to a life that our heart desires to live. And even worse, ignoring the Word of God altogether. We find a passage in the book of Jeremiah that helps us recall that the greatest thing that God desired from his people or from the people of Israel and still requires or desires from us today was obedience. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 21 through 24 says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, add your burnt offerings to your sacrifices and eat meat. For I did not speak to your fathers or command them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. But this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but followed the counsels and the dictates of their evil hearts, and went backward and not forward." In other words, God was saying that from the very beginning, what he cared about was that we would obey his voice and that we would walk in all the ways that he commanded. Amen. Following God is not that mysterious. Serving God is not meant to be burdensome or for us to, man, I got to jump a hoop and jump through this obstacle or through this barrier. But yeah, it really is as simple as just believing and repenting and obeying. Amen. Believing that he is the rewarder of those that seek him, that we would repent of any sin or action that we may have done or are doing that would separate us from him, and that we would obey his word to be in good standing and ensure that we've taken the necessary steps to secure and retain eternal life. First book of Samuel chapter 15 verse 22 adds on, "So Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of the rams." If we want our aroma or scent to continuously lead people to life, then we need to be continuously obeying the word of the Lord. We need to heed and take notice of how our choices along with what he has already spoken. We cannot obey the dictates of our evil hearts that lead us backwards and not forwards, because God searches the hearts and the minds, and it is only he that can help us. It is only he that can direct us, and that it is only he that can restore and refresh us. You can't hide the stench. Believe me, I tried. Yeah, if I can take you back to my car, yeah, that wasn't over. My mother-in-law came, and the Friday after, I dedicated the whole day, essentially, to try to fix the car. And the first thing that I did, once I had changed the cabin filter, and I had tested it for water leakage, the smell was there, so I saw a video, of course, and I thought, this is going to be it. I just have to buy a Lysol can. Apparently, that can be a solution, that if you have a bad odor or smell in your car, that you can run the car and you can spray Lysol into the vents from the outside, and that should do it. So I had faith that I thought, yes, that's it. So, a couple of minutes in, or maybe 15, 20 minutes in, after I had sprayed almost a whole lemon Lysol can outside of the car, I poked my head in, it smells great. It smells great. I told myself, this is it. I did it. But then maybe like an hour or two after, I started driving the car, and now it smelled like lemony sulfur. Yeah. Woo, pungent. Yeah, so I told myself that, okay, that didn't do it. I didn't do it. I would turn the AC off, but the smell only got slightly better because it would still hit me even with the AC off. I found a few YouTube videos and more YouTube videos to try to figure out what the problem might have been, and it started telling me that either A, there was a problem with the battery. So if your car ever smells like that, it could be a problem with your battery or the faulty or negative battery. It could be because there's debris or there's gunk stuck in the AC, not the AC itself, but the compartments or the tubes, the drain hoses. And number three, which was the one that scared me, is that your catalytic converter is starting to malfunction. And I saw that. I don't know much about cars, so even me trying to talk to you guys about cars, if I say something or misspeak about cars, I'm so sorry. I don't know much about vehicles, but I'm starting to learn. But I looked at what the price of a catalytic converter might be, and obviously different places are going to charge you different things. And I told myself, I cannot afford a new catalytic converter right now. Let's clean this car. I got to do whatever it takes to try to figure out where this gunk is. So I began, I went to Lowe's, I bought the tools, I bought little cans of, I don't remember what the brand is, but you essentially, once everything's cleaned out, you pop open the can and it starts spraying this very nice scent into your vehicle. I took the tools, popped open the hood, removed the bolts of the windshield wipers, removed the plastic or the trims around the windshield, removed the cowl around the windshield, and there was a lot of leaves, a lot of gunk, a lot of pine trimmings or pine needles and God knows what that I scooped out with my hand. It took me a while to get it all clean. What I couldn't get out with my hands, I used a compressed air can to get it out. And then I went into the glove compartment area, and then I pulled the carpet back. I found a little drain tube. I guess that's part of the air conditioned unit. I sprayed compressed air into it, and surely enough, it was also clogged or blocked. So I had done everything, at least that I knew of, that I could do to clean that car, at least from debris. And then I also rented a vacuum from Lowe's, right? And I made sure to try to take out all the water that had accumulated in my vehicle. So once I did that, I released the cans, closed the doors of the car, and I just tried to let the car smell nice from that. And thankfully, after all that work, I can tell you that the stench is gone. The stench is gone, praise God. All that is gone permanently now. So the sound of debris is also gone as I would turn. Thankfully, that's gone, right? The smell is gone. The water doesn't come into my car anymore. I think maybe a couple of days, like 2 or 3 days after I had done everything, it rained again. I told myself, Lord, please, I don't know what else to do if this don't work. And it worked. There was no more water that came in. Amen. And the AC has never felt better. And the third point, right? So if I could recap the second one at this time, is you can't hide a deep stench. And you got to get in there and figure out what it is. And number three is old habits die hard. Old habits die hard. Whenever this phrase is used, it's to state that a habit is hard to break or move past, especially if it is something that has been around in your life for a long time. Amen. What I want to tell you, though, is that the greatest start to reverse an old habit is death. For Romans chapter 6, verse 7 through 11 tells us, "For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen. So we consider that today is that we are dead to sin, amen, when we are dead in Christ, but we are alive in Christ as well. Death has no longer dominion over us, amen. And specifically, I bring up the old habits, but the old habits that can lead us to sin, that can lead us to death and away from the presence of God. How can I die with Christ? Or maybe how did I die with Christ? The answer is just a few verses earlier in this same chapter. Verse 1 through 4 says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. I believe that it is in our nature to want to leave things as is and hope that they will get better over time, somehow on their own, that things can just, I don't know what's going to happen, but it's going to get better. But most often than not, things don't get better or improve if no action is taken on our part to do that. We need to be people of action, amen. Passiveness doesn't work in the kingdom of God. You can't just wait, and there are definitely times of waiting, though, and listening. I'm not talking about, you know, waiting on what God is going to do or waiting to hear his voice, but we need to be men and women of action or decisiveness, of intention, that every action, that every word or thought in regard to the kingdom of God, that it be decisive and with a good purpose behind it. Matthew chapter 11, verse 12 says, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force." So that means that there's an aggressive action or an aggressive, to an extent, character or mentality that needs to be within us when we consider the kingdom of God, that it's, I'm going to do it, you know, I can't compare it, right, but horrible comparison maybe, but I think about the anytime there's riots in Los Angeles, you know, I'm from California, and I remember that there was times that I worked in a bank that was near where the Santa Monica, or there were Santa Monica riots at some point, I don't remember how many years ago, but I was close enough where I would always desire, Lord, let these rioters come nearby so that way I don't have to come into work today. Yeah, they never got close enough, though. They like to stay near the beach. Unfortunately, I didn't work near the beach at the time. But anyways, these people, you know, we've seen videos, and maybe it's happened out here too, but they violently break into stores for the Jordans, right? For the electronics, for the TVs. I don't know if people ever break in with such violence into grocery stores. Maybe they do, but for sure for the material things, right? For the things that they can try to sell and make a profit of. Obviously, illegally, but if we could have that kind of violence to an extent that we'd be just willing to say, I don't know what it's going to take, but I need to break free of these habits. That I need to see the face of the Lord. I need to be in His presence. That I need to hear the voice of the Lord. That I just need to be transformed with that decisiveness, with that intention, with that violence or aggressiveness. That's what we need. That's what the kingdom of God needs, and that's what Rack needs today. That's what I need in my life. Because I don't just want to sit around and wait and hope that God does something, hope that God will fix something. And I need to put of my own effort and will into an action or into a choice that can start today, amen, so that I can break away from the little things that destroy, that I can break away from the stench, that I do not lead people to death any longer if that's what was going on, but instead that I would lead people to life just through my aroma based on the scripture that we read earlier, amen. We remember David slaying the giant, but prior to that, there was boldness in him to step up when the trained men of war or battle were too scared or unwilling to do so. And we also remember Joshua's victories, but prior to that, there was boldness and faithfulness in him that set him apart along with Caleb as they set off as spies. Amen. If God could deliver David from a giant, I know that God can deliver you or me from any form of addiction. Amen. If God delivered Jericho to Joshua and the people of Israel, then what wall, what barrier, what prison, what shackle, or what fortress can stand before you? What can stand against the voice of God or against the voice, amen, or the cry of an obedient and chosen people, of a redeemed people, of a people that has died to sin but has now become alive in Christ? That is, amen, that's powerful this morning. I challenge someone this morning to lift up their voices, amen, in this place and cry out to the deliverer. Amen. I'm closing soon, but if you would just consider that there is a very real and living and powerful God and Almighty to deliver us, to save us, to free us, to restore us, to cleanse us, to refresh us. That God is here today. Amen. Years and years of sin can be gone and blotted away when we repent and when we are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And to close, if I could read from Acts chapter 3, verse 19 through 20, the Bible says, "Repent, therefore, and turn back," at least from the ESV version, "that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus." Times of refreshing, or seasons of refreshing, a time of restitution is coming from the presence of the Lord. A time for us to leave the broken, the messed up, or the ugly selves we used to be prior to knowing Christ, and a time to step forward boldly, confidently, trusting that every day that we take care of getting rid of the little foxes, we are being transformed into an image of the glory of the Lord from glory to glory. Trusting that every day that we take care of having an aroma of life, not of death, not only are we benefiting ourselves, but we are also helping someone else to do just that along with us in the fellowship of the church or the body of Christ. And then trusting that every day that we take care of the old habits, God will also help us towards new habits, or habits that bring life instead of death. A season of refreshing is like a breath of fresh air that is in store for us when we walk away from sin and make ourselves receptive and available to the presence of God. Amen. If you guys would stand with me this morning, I just want to challenge us. Amen. I know that our service, our celebration service is starting in about 30 minutes or so, but I'm challenging you guys and myself to give God our best worship this morning. Amen. To give him the best praise. And maybe that sounds like, it can sound cliche, like it can, almost like when somebody asks, how many of you guys are joyful in the house of the Lord? Like, you're already like, yeah, I'm joyful, you know, but you don't really consider, we just automatically respond to an invitation or sometimes a statement that someone says up here. But I would really wish that we would give God our best worship, that we really would bring our best praise this morning, and that we would have a thankful and intentional and sincere prayer as we go into our celebration service. And here's the thing, that our disposition to worship and thankfulness, unfortunately, cannot just start as I'm making this invitation. That shouldn't be the case, right? But it can start. I mean, it's a start for some of us today, perhaps. It's the disposition, the preparedness, and the heart, and the thankfulness, and the joy that's in our hearts, and whatever it is that God has done throughout the week, there should be a preparation throughout the week as we come to celebration service. And I know that whatever God is going to do, God's going to move because he is God, and he's just, that's what he does. But I guarantee, I can guarantee that if we were more intentional throughout the week in weeding out perhaps the little foxes, little things that take away or draw away our time away from God, amen, that there would be perhaps an even greater move than what we're used to seeing, or a different move, or something that, you know, yeah, we've seen that. Whoa, I've never seen that before. That's never happened before. God is a God that does things that we're not used to seeing, and you know, our disposition, again, it's an encouragement that I encourage you guys to bring a different praise, a better prayer, a better, more heartfelt, sincere prayer, knowing that the God that gives us everything, or has given us everything, and more that we could ever think or imagine, is in this room. Amen. And it is up to us to try to touch just perhaps the hem of his garment. He may be there, but I am going to be violent and say, get out of my way. I'm going to praise. Get out of my way. I'm going to receive a blessing. And if not, get out of my way, because I want to give my Lord a praise. I want to give my God the worship that he deserves, right? Amen. And all I can tell you guys is today, and I didn't share this verse with the team. I apologize, but Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 27. I was indecisive about adding this at the end, but I just want to read it, and may the Lord do what he will with what this verse says. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 27 says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Amen. So I encourage you guys to come boldly before the presence of the Lord, before his presence, his sacrifice, his blood allows us now to come before the holiest. Amen. And to be able to lift up our hands, to be able to express our praise, to express our worship, and to ask for forgiveness when that need be. Amen. But
thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.